Let's pray.
Blessed are you, Lord, and we thank you for the great opportunity to come together to read your word, to discuss your word, to meditate on your word. And we thank you because it's only because you allow it to happen. Blessed are you, Lord, and we thank you in your name. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we've been through this, building on the foundation, and we are in the last, actually it's not there, I don't know why I put it there. We're in the last two squares. We've already done all of that. We are on obedience. Really, it's the application of all of that theology that we had gone through over the last, 9 months? And we covered obedience. We went through all that. I know this is a quick summary. We're called to obey the commands of God. We are called to follow Christ. And we are called to submit to Christ. And we cover the marks of a true believer, and we have great discussions through that, and examples of obedience and disobedience. Do we have any questions before we move on? Not all at the same time, please. Now, today, we will go through the greatest example of obedience. So let's go through this three. Let's see. Kirk, would you mind reading John 4:34? Wade, Luke 22:42. Let's see. Shorty, Philippians 2:8. Kirk, John 4:34. My food is, say again. Read it again if you don't mind. Okay, so let's set it up real quick. So what's happening before he said that? Who remembers? I do. He goes through showing her who Christ is, right? And she says, in... I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Christ says to her, I who speak to you, am he. That's in 25 and 26. And if we continue to read, in 31, the disciples are worried about food and about Christ not eating. And it's okay, you know, we worry about things, but they don't understand. They didn't hear the conversation with the woman. And they say, it says here in 31, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. Like he brought his own lunch. He had something someone brought him. I could see them, you know, thinking, okay, hold on. Check him. Maybe he had Snickers or something, you know. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, what we just read, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And in the context of obedience, he is doing what he came to do. His concentration, his only concern was to do the will of God. Just like we do, right? Maybe. Yes, sir. When you get hungry.
I get distracted.
Yeah. Right. And his primary concern, Christ's primary concern, were to do the will of the Father. It goes to your point. The kingdom of God. Amen. But we forget. Because life gets in the way. We allow life to get in the way. We always say, if life gets in the way, I'm only human. And that's why I keep saying here, I said, we have to be intentional in everything that we do. Because otherwise, life gets in the way. We allow life to get in the way. We forget our main concern. Next. Who's got next? Oof. Even on the cross. Your will be done. Have you ever thought about that? Really, truly? He knew what was going to happen. He knew what was coming. And I know I'm not trying to put ourselves in his place. But we ought to. I think. Because many a times we forget to say your will and not mine. Any comments on that one? Yes. The obedience in itself. Because if I understand what you're saying is, he could have done it differently. Okay, I see your point, but he didn't. This is, and if we believe in his perfection, this was the way, and his own knowledge, this was the way. I'm not going to belittle with what I'm saying, and that's not what I'm trying to say. If you've watched Avengers Endgame, when what's his name goes through a million whatever, and this is the only way that we can win. I'm not saying that Christ did that. But that's the way, the only way. You know, and I don't know if it could have been written differently, because in his sovereignty, in his own knowledge, in everything that he is, that was the way. Take it from me. Right. So I'm not quite certain there's another way. But we can have that conversation separately here. But I'm not certain. I'm struggling with is there another way? And I don't think so. I get it. I understand. And what I'm saying is that if we look at the whole God, everything that he is, which we will never understand, there's no multiple ways. There was only one way. And that was the only way. That's what I understand. That's what I see. Otherwise, we could have multiple endings. And no, God would, in his wholeness, that was the only way that he could solve for us this predicament. So I want to have that conversation in the parking lot and maybe do additional research and bring people more intelligent than I up here. But I don't see how God in the whole could bring a different solution. This is the solution. So if you don't mind, let's do that. Yes, sir. Because we are made for good works. Is that your point, right?
Right.
Anybody else? Yes. Right. Okay. Next, Philippians 2:8. So that's the extent of your obedience. Anything else on that point? Good, good, good points. Good questions. Right. Anybody else? So it's your question, can Jesus doubt?
In that moment.
In the moment of? Well, the first thing is that we can't take the Bible and just take one verse of the Bible and then give it a whole definition. We got to take the Bible within the Bible. Right. And that's what I'm getting to. And you can come back to the first that we read. He says, this is the will. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm doing it. You know, my concern of life on earth is to do the will of God. And I'm doing it. He suffered as a human. Does that, I don't think it means that he doubted his purpose and his situation. I think he was suffering. And he says, Father, if it's your will, I'm not going to do it mine. Because otherwise, when he goes into the desert for 40 days, you know, 40 days, and he's tempted. And he's tempted. Now, there's other questions that come to that. Could he have sinned? No. But he was tempted. He was tempted. Someone tempted him, but he never sinned. And I think asking for God to let the cup pass doesn't mean he doubted. It means it hurts. He understood what he needed to do. But it's your will. It's not my will. I'm here to do what I need to do, what you asked me to do. So I think it's wrong. And it's the wrong doctrine to say Jesus doubted completely. Yes, ma'am. And anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And forget it. Yeah. Kurt. And we have to be very careful when people start creating doctrine to make us, because you're human, you're just like Christ. Exactly like Christ. He was just like you. You know, he had the same problems and he went through. Be careful. Be very, very careful. Nana. And then I'm coming to Tony. Yes. And what I'm trying to say is, through that and then making it a doctrine and lowering and cheapening, you know, the sacrifice of Christ in that way, that's totally wrong. That's not Christ-like, nor is from God. You know, and it just we need to be prepared. And I think that's what she's like. Okay, how do I go back and say no, this is not right? And all the verses that they have used, those are the ones that you need to put back into those who say, oh, Jesus doubted, and I'm gonna tattoo it, and I'm gonna pray, oh, Jesus doubted, and he's just like you and I. You wish to be like Christ. And we're called to be like Christ. And we fail constantly. Tony.
No, everything's said.
No. No. You wanted to say something. Now you say something.
I like your shirt.
All right. Anything else? Yes. Carly Carl.
Can I read something here?
You can read, but read away. Okay? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I think that was our conversation last Sunday or the Sunday before last regarding our obedience and an attitude towards obedience. The way we do things. Mm-hmm. The motives. Yep. Tony, now you want to say something? Should we let him say something? Let's take it a vote. Those who say yes, raise your hand. Those who say no, sorry, my count's 10 times theirs. No, go ahead. Great point. And I think that's what we and most people forget. It's what is he about to receive? Not only to receive, he is God. So he knows who God is, because he is God. And he is going to receive the wrath of God in our place. And humanly, he is going to receive the worst death of anyone can suffer. So he gets it double. We stop at the cross and the physical. But he's receiving the wrath of God. We are saved from what? The wrath of God. Oh, you're saved from your sins. No. You're saved from the wrath of God. He is taking your place. Yes, Nana?
He also, my little sister,
amen. And that's the point. I think it's great, Tony. I'm glad I let you say something. Because it is. Yeah, I know Miriam told you to say it. I yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And we forget. That's why, and I want to bring it back to our subject. That's why we talk about obedience. And that's why we make the point that he knew what he came to do. And he told them, I'm here to do the will of God, the will of my Father who sent me, and I'm going to do it. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. And we need to meditate. That's why we need to read the Bible, meditate on what those words mean. To let those words steer our hearts to God. To really say, God, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, help me. Help me understand your word. So I can live for you, in you, to you, and bless you and honor you. And praise you in everything that I do, because I want to do your will and not mine in my flesh. That's the application to all of us. Make sense? And in that, we have promises and blessings of obedience. And I want to read John 15, 10 to 14. Tony, would you mind reading that? And let's see. George, you read 1 John 3, 21 and 24. Tony, it's a lot in there of blessings and promises. So let's take it one verse at a time. Okay? Tony, read the first one. So what's the first blessing and promise? What, Miriam, with why? Uh-huh. What happened? They dilo en español. Uh-huh. So, you will what? Abide in? My love, His love. That's a promise. Guys, He promised that you will abide in His love. Yes, ma'am. What does it mean? What does it mean to abide in His love? Anyone? Yes, Mike. Let's use other words. Endure in His love. Remain in His love. You are in His love. His love can be taken away. Remember in another, and I'm going to just paraphrase. It says, if the Father gives me one, they can't take it away from my hand, right? We remain in Him. Not forsake us. Yeah, we remain in His love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. We were just talking this morning about remaining in the faith, even when things are difficult. And there's a cup in our kitchen that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What if I'm not joyful? But remember, he says, the joy of the Lord. It doesn't say, my joy, it's my strength. If it's my joy, we have a problem. If it's your joy, you have a problem. I'm moody. Just ask Astrid. And Mr. Moodiness. And she goes. She's laughing because it's true. It's His joy. And it will be full. Complete. And that your joy may be full. My joy may be in you. How is His joy in us? The Holy Spirit. Yes, sir.
No, that's it.
That's it. Okay. The Holy Spirit, guys. You see how we're connecting everything that we've been talking? Give the Holy Spirit credit. He is God. Connect to Him. My joy, the joy of God. So your joy may be full. So even when we're not joyful, His joy would be our strength. What? How does that work, Victor? Because I don't feel it when I go through the difficulties that we go through, right, ma'am? I don't feel Him. I don't know. I don't get it. Yes, ma'am.
It's a conviction. It's not a feeling.
I was going there. Because it's not a feeling. It's the conviction that He is there. Because He promised that He will be there. Yes, ma'am. With the conviction, with intentionality. We use different words. But it's His promise. Going back to the blessing of His promises. I saw a hand. Okay, Nana. And it's that hope because that feeds our hope of that eternal life. And we talked about that last Sunday. We so much forget that we will live forever. That it will happen. We don't know when, but we're going to live forever. And this is going to pass. Anyone else? Next verse. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? Am I to love you guys like he loved me? Unfortunately, some of you, I don't know. Now, you know we joke, but we're commanded. We are commanded. Because he loved all of us who are in him. And he loved us to the point that he died for us. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants. For the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. We are his friends, his brothers, his sisters. Can you truly see the blessings? The promises? Make them yours. They're yours. He gave them to you freely. And that's such a beautiful thing. You didn't have to do anything. And everything has a price. We pay for everything. Whatever they say, oh, it's free. It ain't free. And it clearly, in this, someone paid for it. He did. So you didn't have to pay. That one we take. I take. And I say hallelujah. Who has the next one? So we're saying again, John is saying the same thing. Abide in him. Love one another. Because he loved you first. Because he sacrificed for you. Because of what he did. Because he asked you to do it. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. 24 hours a day, I do what it pleases him. Anna, what do you know? Oh, I know we struggle. Paul struggled. He wrote about it. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those I do. It's like I wrote it. And I say, Lord, help me. Strengthen my faith. Clear my mind. And all that. Holy Spirit, connect with him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So in obedience, we have blessings, promises, Let's do it. Let's ask Him to help us, because we can't do it by ourselves. We want to. I know we want to. Mostly. But we want to. Anything else? I'm going to stop here. And we'll finish next time. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, that's the way it says, the way the world will know that you love me is if you love one another. Yes. How many times, and you don't need to answer, I'm going to stop with it. How many times you think and you feel someone blah, 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 and there's no truth to it. Zero. And you've created fantasmas. And you've created all kinds of conversations and there's no truth to it. And you could have just said, hey, and solve it, but it's been years, months, whatever, and nothing that your mind is, it's great at creativity. It creates great telenovelas. It's spectacular. Spectacular. But I agree, we have to ground it, especially in our relationships. We do. And especially as we make it personal, and when we make it, it's about me, myself and I, and we don't give. The first test is, am I looking at myself or am I doing for them? Am I forgiving them? Do I have to forgive myself first? But that's a different subject, and I'm getting squirrel here. So anyhow, let's stop here and let's pray. Tony, would you mind closing us in prayer?